If you turn in your pew Bibles to page 778, today's scripture comes from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Now there was at Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which means Dorcas or gazelle. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she fell sick and died, and when they had washed her, and they laid her in the upper room. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, entreating him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he had come, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. Then turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, rise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner.
I love stories, and you can probably tell that because I tell stories a lot in sermons and in every day, and I love true stories about ourselves especially. So I'm going to tell some stories today, or maybe not full stories, but little bits about some people. One of my favorite stories came from my church in Alabama, and these stories are going to be about women. It's Mother's Day, and our passage is about a woman. But in my church in Alabama, there was this older woman, and she died before I came, so I never got to meet Miss Betty Ann Criswell. But it was Alabama, typical southern town, and so when things happened, everybody brought casseroles, and that was the thing to do to help one another, their expression of love, which is really nice. But Betty Ann Criswell was older, and so one of the younger women was going to bring her a casserole because she had cancer and she was older, and that was her expression of love. But as she was coming up to the house, she met Miss Betty Ann, and Miss Betty Ann was on her way out the back door with a casserole for another church member, that loving in that southern town. But so I asked about some stories about women from Central Christian, and I learned about Lois Morgan. Some of these names you'll remember, some of you won't, but Lois Morgan, and of course I didn't know any of these, but Lois Morgan apparently was over junior worship in the old church for years and years. And then there was Diane Thomas, and apparently she was a very active member of Divinity, and she donated her time as both the treasurer and did the lesson. Now that's a lot for any of you that have gone to the mission group, the Divinity group. It's a lot to do both. In fact, she died very young at age 51, and it took two people to replace her. And then there's the name that I hear a lot, Jane Henry. Willis said that was her idol. Willis said that it was her idol because she felt like that Jane Henry was the epitome of a Christian woman. I thought, wow, what a beautiful legacy. And so then I asked, well, tell me about it. And she said she was fun and spiritual. And then I love this, attractive and well-dressed. So I guess we need to do that to be a Christian woman. I'm just teasing Willa. But she also was over the choir, led the choir for years and years. And she was our first female chairperson of the board. And then I do know Betty Heltzel. I enjoy going and hearing her stories. She tells a lot of stories. She's now at Genesis Nursing Home. And she used to be the treasurer for years and years. And then I asked her one time, I said that I'd heard that she had driven children to camp. So I found out about a few of you out there in her trips to camp. Then there was Timer Carpenter. She was known for her cooking ability, those casseroles, and she handled the bereavement dinners for years and years. Then there's Lydia Bradley. She made coffee. I would have loved that. And what was told about her was that you only had to ask her one time, and then she did it forever. Didn't have to ask twice. Then there was a group of women who made the chrismons that we still use on our tree at Christmas, and a group that sewed a beautiful lace tablecloth that I guess is somewhere in the building still. And then there was Olive Haught, who had a recipe for communion bread. That would be fun to get together and make communion bread sometime. And then I love the funny stories. This one's about Ruth Moody, and I do know Ruth Moody. I visit her, but apparently she was in children's church or Sunday school and doing something, and so she had Howard Griffith on the floor, and she was drawing the silhouette of Howard, but then she got to the bottom and was afraid to draw, you know, between the legs. I love that. And then there were the Golden Girls. Wonder if any of you know who you were. That was Lydia Bradley and Timer Carpenter and our Willa Van Gilder, one of the Golden Girls of the church. We'll guess which one Willa was. These women left their legacy, and of course Willa continues to give us her legacy in this church. They left their mark on this place, enough that we remember what they did. I'll bet those of you who were here when they were alive could even tell me which pew they sat in and where they sat. And we saw that when we had our All Saints Day and we had balloons where people sat in their pews. They left a legacy in this place. They did important work, and we remember them for that. Well, our passage this morning was about Dorcas, or Tabitha, if one word is, or one name is in the Hebrew and one's in the Greek, but it's the same person. But Dorcas was one of those casserole-toting, hospital-visiting, divinity-leading, Bible-studying women. She helped to hold the early church together. I would imagine that she probably had money, and I say that because I would imagine most of the women, or all of the women, knew how to sew in those days. There were things that you had to know how to do in order to survive, and sewing would have been one of those things. You didn't go to the department store and pick out a new dress. So I would imagine that everyone knew how to sew, but she was known for sewing for the widows. Now, widows were the bottom of the barrel. If you were a widow and did not have a male to take care of you, that meant that you had to scrounge. It meant you went out in the fields and gleaned for food, and it meant that you might die because nobody took care of the widows. But Dorcas was known for sewing for them, and I would imagine really it was that she could get the fabric to sew the clothing for the poor widows in their church. A very loving thing to do. I love the quote from Jan Parker. She quotes often. She said that her dad, Jack Carpenter, used to say, "We love everything we do for the church." Everybody needs to repeat that often. We love everything we do for the church, right? And I imagine that Dorcas probably, because of her legacy, probably loved what she did for those widows in their church. The Bible says that in verse 36, said she was devoted to good works and acts of charity, and that she was a disciple. She is the only female in the New Testament that was called a disciple. In a time when men ran everything and women were property, this woman was called a disciple. I think that's a great tribute to her. Well, when Dorcas died, they frantically called Peter, said, "Please come and do something." In those days, Christianity was still within the heading of Judaism. They were trying to figure out who they were. They don't actually split until we get to chapter 15 in Acts, when they begin to argue about whether a person had to become Jewish in order to become Christian. So at this time, they were Jewish through the lens of Jesus. And so in Judaism, afterlife was kind of a gray area. They believed in Sheol in Hebrew, and that it was a place where the body went after 3 days and just kind of stayed there. They didn't know exactly what happened or didn't have any belief about it. And so this body was prepared. It was washed and prepared. That means that time had kind of gone on. They were probably getting a little panicky. We've got to do something. We've got to raise her before she goes on to the afterlife of Sheol. Well, it would be nice if we had the ability to heal today. It's hard for us to fathom raising someone from the dead. It's even hard to even fathom healing someone. It would be great if I could just touch you and your knees be fixed and cancer cured, you know, even our broken hearts mended. That would be a great thing. But these women believed that Peter could do something for them, and so they frantically went to Peter. Now, I'm sure that they missed Dorcas's friendship. I'm sure she made a deep hole in their hearts, and that was part of their wanting to have her back. And I need to say, on Mother's Day, there are many that Mother's Day is kind of a reminder of some pain, and we need to remember that as we celebrate today, that, you know, lost friendship and lost parents are a difficult thing. And so I'm sure that these women were struggling through that. But I also think they were probably worried about their little church. They probably thought they needed a miracle. They needed to fill Dorcas's feet and her hands because she did so much. Well, I wonder, who needs to be resurrected here in our church? Would we ever have that feeling of, oh my goodness, if someone passes on or cannot do something, becomes ill, what would we do? You know, that frantic feeling of, who is going to fold the bulletins and who is going to make sure that we have deacons in place and an elder to serve up front? Those feelings, well, and then the more serious things of who's going to take care of those who are ill and who is going to take care of the prayer list? You know, those kinds of things that those friends of Dorcas were probably a little panicked about also. But I wonder, did Dorcas's friends really need a miracle? Did they need a resurrection? Thomas Merton, who's a wonderful monk writer, wrote a reflection. He said that maybe sometimes we make Christianity too complicated. It's the simple that is often the most profound. Were they making it too complicated by saying they needed a miracle, they needed a resurrection, something which today we could not do? And then I love to think about Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz and how she went down that yellow brick road trying to find the way home and only found out at the end that she knew all along, or there she had it within her all along, to make the way to make it home. And so I wonder, Dorcas made a huge difference in that church, but did they need her replaced or resurrected? Or did they simply need to follow Jesus, to do unto others as you would have them to do? Did they need, maybe rather than resurrection, maybe they needed revival, renewal, maybe recommitment in that little church? Let's bow for just a moment of reflection and prayer. Oh God, show us the ways in which we need renewal, revival, and recommitment. Amen.